the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
And again, I have the signal to steam in off the long run, pushing off the Paddington end, Bob Willis sort of style. This is the Kerr's Hire.
Can you put that in layman's terms Cat Attack for some people?
Then we're just kicking off. We're commencing.
We're underway.
Yes. Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, episode 7 or 6, King, is it? Oh, season 493.
How are you, Ben?
We've had more episodes than
Neighbours.
Home and Away. It's still going, Home and Away.
It is.
Do you remember that episode when, is Alf still in it?
Yes.
Remember that episode when Alf and Marilyn? Remember they're doing a bit of Hush McGundy? Do you remember that?
I wasn't.
Have you never watched it?
Not really, no.
Oh, well, that was one of the most extraordinary. They had to play it at 11 o'clock at night. It was the only episode of Home and Away that was MA.
I'm backing that never happened.
No, it didn't.
I think your mate.
It was a figment of my imagination.
You're rewriting history.
Yeah, like that episode of Neighbours, it came on late and Bouncer was involved.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, that never happened.
You good?
I'm getting over the weekend, so I'm...
It's Thursday.
I know, but
you're still getting over it.
I did a letdown.
Did you? Yeah. What did you get up to?
I went and saw a band on Saturday night. I went and saw Nick Barker and the Reptiles at the Northcote Social Club. Great little venue, about 400, probably the similar size to the Bowen Club.
Yep.
And we had all sorts of refreshments, Kingy, that night. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Did you stay in Melbourne?
I didn't. I came home. We came home, but I was.
Did you go straight home when you came home, or did you go and find another establishment?
No, we stayed out and about, and then we did make our way home eventually. But I did see Kingy. This may not appeal to everyone, but there's a guy that plays in the band, right? He's not part of the Reptiles, but he's obviously a good friend of Nick Barker, and he's played with Nick Barker forever and a day. Sort of across the last probably 15 years. Nick Barker's solo stuff, he'll play. He plays the bass.
Yep.
And on the bass, he didn't have it on Saturday night, but mate night, we don't know his name. We only know him.
As the bass player.
No, as, and you're going to laugh here, as his name. It's on his, it's, it was a big sign on his guitar.
Which said?
Under the sort of the sound hole, even though it's on a sound hole on an electric guitar, but
yeah.
Under the, you know, the pickup or the where you play.
Yeah.
There was a big
the frets, under the frets.
Yeah, there was a big sign that just said, I wank hard.
Right.
So I ran into him after the gig on Saturday night coming out of the can.
Yeah. Right.
And I didn't know his name, so I just said, I wank hard. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. We conversed. I conversed with I wank hard. And there's no grey area, that is there?
No.
There's just nothing. You know what? He's just tearing the ears off the thing. And
right.
It was fantastic to be able to converse with him and say to him, hi, I wank hard, because I didn't know what his name was.
Right. Anyway. Great. Can we move into the show now?
Yeah, well, that was highlight of the week.
Bit of light blue from you early.
Oh, that light blue. It actually happened.
Yeah, no, that's right.
He got up on stage with it. I've saw him many a time. Just the thought of not knowing someone's name, but the only way to refer to them was through some sort of stimulation.
Right.
Anyway, cats were stimulating the other night.
We haven't had a podcast for 10 days.
Oh, I know, Kingy. We've been general soreness, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't – the fixturing of the AFL.
The fixturing was horrendous.
I'm not an AFL apologist, but sometimes you just go, look, it is what it is.
You just turn up.
But 12-day break into an 11-day break
just
doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And then they're into a 6-day break into a 5-day break.
It's discombobulated, isn't it?
Well, it's all designed for
going the other way and taking our Geelong hat off for a second is Adelaide came in off a 6-day break.
Mm.
Into the game against Geelong.
Off a 12-day.
And then Geelong, as you said, had 11 or 12 into Hawthorn. Yeah. It made absolutely no sense. Let's not have another Thursday night game in school time
in
Geelong.
No. And the weather obviously didn't help and all that. But it doesn't... Well, I think... What have Geelong got? No, Geelong's two Thursday nights to come are both interstate. I think one in Perth against the Dockers and one against the Lions at the Gabba. Other than that, it's Fridays and Saturday twilight.
What did you make of the Pussies?
Butchered the footy a little bit.
It was pretty slippery.
Yeah, but still...
Absolutely pissed down there at one point.
Geelong should never have found themselves behind early in the last quarter.
No, I agree with that.
With that Adelaide team that they rolled out.
Yeah.
Matthew Nix will walk away from that performance going, gee, some blokes there that, externally we probably don't know a lot about.
Cook?
Yeah. Although I reckon a couple of times, Manor got a hold of him a couple of times.
He played pretty well, though.
Yeah.
He's only played about 20 games, yeah. But he's won.
Yeah.
I reckon that we said this, we spoke about it after the game, Carrick Footy, on the night of the game, and that, yeah, I think Adelaide would have been really pleased with the effort, albeit not to win. I talking to a couple of people, admittedly they're not Geelong supporters. In fact, they probably dislike Geelong to a degree for whatever reason.
But that to a point gives you probably a bit more of a subjective view.
Well,
of
no, it. I don't. They just dislike Geelong because they're strong, but and they live in Geelong. You know, there's a lot of people in Geelong who hate Geelong who don't bury for Geelong simply because they've been so good. Yeah. But they were telling me
that they'll be subjective in their views.
Well, they thought Geelong were lucky to win, and I'm thinking, hang on,
now, what was the inside 50 count?
Oh well, it was. The first and third, first and last quarters, I reckon it would have been close to 40 to about 15.
The ball was parked in Geelong's.
In the last quarter, it was. Yeah. They got opened up a few times, the Cats, which was probably the concern of the night. Yeah. But I when the couple of guys said to me, oh, you know, geez, Geelong were lucky, well, I thought, hang on. I'd be the first to say, yeah, I think they were. I thought Geelong were the better side. Adelaide did really well to make them nervous and then, as you say, find the front. And then when Geelong were good enough, late in the game, albeit it was close, to be able to dominate and you know, have repeat inside 50s, put pressure on. It was only a matter of time before they kicked a goal because the ball lived in their half for probably a good 12 minutes.
Is it concerning, though, they couldn't put them away?
Well, I think that's modern footy, though, Kingy. Like, Adelaide are a good team. I know they had some players out, but they are a good side. And that's, you win ugly sometimes. It's not always going to be just a five-goal win when you're 5 goals up a quarter time and everything's great and dandy and there's no pressure. I thought the Cats were really good. The thing I liked about the Cats was that I thought their pressure was good for four quarters. That was as good as I've seen their pressure. And visibly, you could see the desire to impact the game if you didn't have the ball, tackle, chase, harass. You could see it there all night. Now, Adelaide were good enough to stand up to it and then find a way past at times. And as I say, they opened up the Cats a few times. But I thought it was a strong effort. And we spoke, Kingy, about... We spoke to Andrew Mackie pre-game and I asked him about Sam DeConing. And I basically said, where's Sam DeConing at? You know, he doesn't seem to have improved.
Sam DeConing was listening.
Well, he was, because that was the best game he's played, I reckon.
Since
2022.
Yep.
He was fantastic. He played with a purpose. He played with a bit of physicality. The tackle he laid on, was it Fogarty? Late in the game, when he was running, I'm not sure if it was Fogarty, it was a player coming at him pretty much full steam, and he wrapped him up and brought him to ground.
Yeah, pretty sure you're right, it's Fogarty.
He marked a few balls nicely. He had that spoil. It was Mick Schultz would have gotten nude. He would have got an absolute stiffy kick.
I had a beer with Mick Schultz on the day after.
Did you?
And I said to him, I said, you might have got a few mentions last night.
Does he know that he gets mentioned?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's well aware of it.
Oh, right. And does he seem to...
I don't think he minds it, no. Well, he's still being remembered for 91 games.
Well, the spoil went about 35 metres. Yeah, I actually saw it highlighted during the week.
Yeah, it was Mick. It was a real...
It was a beauty. It was an absolute beauty. Yeah. But look, hats off to Sam DeConing. Now, the key will be, can he back it up? Because I said to Andrew Mackie, and he didn't disagree with me, that... You'd love DeConing to be the bloke you pin to the opposition's best forward, tall forward.
The beast.
Yeah. Put him on that and then allow others to work. You can have mix and match, whether it's O'Sullivan, whether it's Stewart, whether it's Guthrie, whatever you want to do, Jack Henry. You can mix and match the other guys, but just let's pencil in DeConing in for the best forward or seemingly the best tall forward and hope that works. Now, is that to say that he's going to beat every tall forward every week? No. Is there going to be times if the ball's coming out a million miles an hour and he gets goals kicked on him? Yes. But if he is able to be a reasonably reliable and consistent defender and stand up in big moments in games, that, I reckon that would be absolutely key for the Cats this year. So hats off to Sam DeConing, but he's got to be able to back it up and do it again.
Who is that key forward this week? Is that Mitch Lewis he goes to?
I would have thought. I just hope the Cats have this tendency, Kingy, tendency to try and get funky and creative.
So DeConing to Lewis. Who goes to Chole?
Well, you could argue that Jack Henry might be a reasonable matchup for Lewis.
So DeConing goes to Chole?
One of the two.
Or does Jack Henry have to go to Gunston?
Because
you really need somebody.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good call.
I think Henry's got to go to Gunston.
Yeah, I think Henry to Gunston. I think Maybe Connor O'Sullivan on Lewis.
Yep.
Lewis likes to come up the ground a little bit.
And O'Sullivan's got the tank.
O'Sullivan's got the tank, certainly got the tank to come up the ground. And then yeah, DeConing on Chole. Yeah. I'm not against that. And then we have Mullen probably goes to Watson.
Yep, who goes to Dylan Moore.
Well, he's a very good player. I think you probably have to just rely on Zach Guthrie. I mean, you can't have Bobby Clampett on all of them, can
no.
you? You can't be a Clampett, can you? You've got to allow Mrs. Clampett to get off the chain a little bit.
You don't want to be Jed.
No, you don't want to be Jed Clampett.
Although you wouldn't mind the millions.
You don't want to be Dash Riprock either off the Beverly Hillbilly. So, I would have thought, you know, Guthrie on Moore. He's a good player, Moore, and he's a really good finisher, which is what I like. He doesn't miss if he gets some opportunities.
Interesting that a bloke with a low jumper number has gone lower.
Yeah.
He was 13 and he's gone to eight.
Eight, is it?
Yep.
Who?
Watson's gone to five.
Yeah, they have jumped down. Well, Watson wasn't that high either, was he?
Oh, what did the Wizard wear? That's a good question.
I'm not sure, King. He's doing ads now, though, on the TV.
He wore 34.
34? Yeah, why wouldn't you stay in 34?
Don't know. Yeah. Number five, obviously, is revered.
Peter Crimmins wore that, didn't he?
That's why it's revered. Remember, it wasn't worn. I think Andy they went the best part of 20 years without
Andy
that being
Collins.
Worn, and Andy Collins got it first. Because they were saving it, actually, in case...
What about Kenny? Talking about numbers. What about the man we had on for this time 1,000 years ago or thereabouts?
The 15.
What an absolute debacle it has been for 15 since Peter Riccardi retired.
Yeah.
It has been one of the great debacles in modern footy.
Who's worn it more? Has Ryan Gamble played the most games?
I think so. And he only played about 30.
Yep.
We've had Ryan Gamble. Yep. This is, if you're listening, just make sure you're sitting down. So 288 games for P. Riccardi.
And retired at the end of 06.
Yes. Since then, we have had Ryan Gamble.
Yep.
We've had...
Jordan Schroeder.
We've had Johnny Segler.
Oh, he did.
We've had...
Remember when John Segler did a pre-game interview with us, did with coffee in the hand?
He did.
I think he was an emergency.
Yeah, I don't think he had any interest. He likes his races, John Segler. And there's one other kingy. There's one other absolute bunny. Who wore 15 as well? We mentioned Ryan Gamble, didn't we? Schroeder, Segler, and there was a period there, Kingy. I found from about 6 or 7 years where the 15 never ran out at the 2 o'clock game.
No,
there was no 15 involved for about 7 or 8 years, at all. So I said that
Nathan Kruger had
Nathan Kruger. Well, there's another one who's ended up. He's at Grovey. Is he still at Grovey?
Still playing VFL.
Is he?
Yep.
Right. Well, he's back playing the VFL, so he's not wearing 15. Peter Riccardi needs to vet the next person. And now George Stevens is wearing it. I met George Stevens the other day, Kingy.
Yep.
On Tuesday night.
He's a good Warrnambool boy.
Yeah, South Warrnambool. He's a nice fella. Do you know who else I met?
Whom?
Yes.
Where were you?
I was... I can't say where I was because they'll get in trouble.
Right. Who else did
was
you?
It the Alley Cat? No, I wasn't. No, I was at a kids clinic thing. Guess. And we talk about him a lot.
Geelong player?
Oh, yeah, of course, yes. We talk about him a lot.
Do we bag him a bit?
No, we don't bag him. We've never seen him.
Oh.
And I saw him.
Oh, Loch Ness.
Loch Ness Conway.
Were you at St Mary's?
Yes.
So they've sent Loch Ness.
They've sent Loch Ness across.
So he's basically just had to walk across.
Jack Henry came across.
Oh, what a shock.
Keaton Matafai Forbes came across.
Right.
And Connor O'Sullivan came across.
Right.
And George Stevens came across.
Yeah, good.
So it must have been the Tuesday where Geelong players were being sent to all points of the compass because I saw there was others at Bell Park.
Yeah, some out at Cario, some at North Geelong. Yes, so you spoke to George Stevens.
Yes, and he's a nice fella. And I spoke to Connor O'Sullivan. When I say spoke to them, we didn't sit down and have a coffee or anything. Look, Connor O'Sullivan was really good with the kids. So was Toby Conway. They all were, in fact.
Well, they got to be.
Yeah, but they, you know, some of them find it a bit easier than others, in fairness. And I did find out that Toby, his nickname.
He's not Loch Ness.
No, I didn't mention anything about Loch Ness. I'm not that stupid, King.
Oh, I think he's aware of it.
No, he's not.
It gets out on social media.
No, he wouldn't know. Loch Ness Conway. No, his nickname is Chilli.
Because?
Because he goes red in the face very, very easily. So if there's a joke at his expense.
Right.
Yes, they call him Chilli.
Chilli Conway.
And I found out the nickname of Mitch Edwards.
Is?
They call him Junk.
Because?
Well, because he's known as the, for some reason, don't explain to me.
Oh, Junkyard Dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just call him Junk.
Does he keep his spot to go up against Reeves and Meek?
I think so. Who else are you going to bring in? Well, Reeves and Meek are giants. Like, they're not little ruckmen. Reeves is Reeves 2010 or 2.9?
2.10.
2.10? 2.9?
Let me confirm.
He's very, very tall. Maybe 2.07. And Meek is a man mountain.
Mm.
So I'm not suggesting the 20-year-old is going to go on physically, but he is probably the most physical of our ruckmen, other than Shannon Neal, and you don't want him playing in the
Reeves,
ruck.
Reeves, 2.08.
Yeah, that's big.
Meek, 2.03.
And Edwards is 2.06. Mm. So, look, just height-wise, which is not everything I realise, it's a big ask against those two boys, though.
Does Blitzarves do a lot more, and they try and, you know, Blitzarves tries to use his athleticism against those two? Especially on the wide.
Well, that would be the obvious. That would be the obvious sort of call, wouldn't it? I mean, to try and use your athletic ability, you have to have someone at some point that can sort of physically. You don't want them just dominating the ruck. So can Edwards maybe sort of break even in the ruck? Possibly. Is he going to get tired pretty quick wrestling those big boys?
Yes,
probably. But you'd have to think off 11 days off. He should be, you know, relatively fresh. The only thing I wanted to ask you, King, has Mitch Edwards taken a mark in his games yet? The one thing I've noticed about Mitch Edwards is that he's quite physically gifted, and he's going to fill out, as we've mentioned on the Kerr's High Cut Attack podcast before.
It's a very good pickup by you.
He hasn't taken a mark, has he? No. My concern, just in watching him in two games, is that he doesn't look like taking a mark. He doesn't get into a position to take a mark. Now, it's only two games, so let's not get too excited.
It's a very small sample size, Ben.
It is very small sample size, Kingy. But it's, you remember when we were watching Shannon Neal in his small sample size, he would drop them, but he would get into a position to take them. And of more recent times, he started to take those ones, but he was getting into a position to take them, which is half the battle. I have not seen Mitch Edwards get into a position where he's looked like he's going to mark the ball in two games. So that's something that hopefully that he's working on in terms of being in position to do that. Because at 2.06, you need to be able to mark the ball. Your ruckman, I'm not a big, clearly the Cats aren't a big fan of ruckman either, although they had a go at Marshall, but they think they can get away with out of what you would classify as a bona fide top ruckman. But the one thing you need your big bloke to do is be able to kick the ball down the line, down the wing when there's nothing else on, he puts his mitts in the air and takes a mark. And we see Max Gawn do it time after time after time. If you've got a big bloke who can take that pack mark, and I'm not suggesting he's going to take six a game, but if the game's on the line, you've got a ruckman who can mark the ball clean on the wing in a pack of four.
Yep.
That is a huge advantage. I'd just like to see him look like he was going to do that because I haven't seen him get near it in terms of marking it.
It's a huge game, Ben, because if Geelong can somehow find a way and be 3-1 as opposed to 2-2, like, I know it doesn't seem a big gap, but if you're two games ahead of the curve
with
already,
West Coast to come.
Yeah. Although that, did you watch a bit of the Eagles on Sunday?
They'll beat Wet Toast.
Yeah, they will.
How good's that Zane Dersma?
Yeah. Poof.
He's got some talent.
Job Shannon.
No, not Zane. Is it not Zane?
No, Willem. Willem.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Brother of?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all related.
Brother of North Melbourne's Zane.
They're all brother and sister.
Well, he's got plenty going on.
Yeah. So the Dersma, that's at Essendon.
And then, yeah, Xavier.
Yeah.
He'd be mid-20s, I know.
Yeah,
wouldn't he?
He is. Yeah, yeah, he's about 26, 27.
He's not as good as these other. Well, Zane's just struggling a little bit, but this kid, the one West Coast have got, is really
good. That's why he's pick one.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you who the other one is. Gee, Job Shanahan's a good player.
Yeah. Yeah, they have got some good players there. Anyway, Geelong are beating West Coast. So
yeah,
they're not losing that game. But so this is a really big game, and Hawthorn have been okay. I watched the game against Sydney, probably a little bit like the Cats against Adelaide.
Yep.
Sydney had Heaney out, Goulden out, had a couple others out, and they stuck with Hawthorn for most of the night.
Well,
Hawthorn,
someone's led by a couple of goals at three-quarter time.
I watched a lot of the game. Hawthorn were the better side. Yep. Hawthorn looked the better side. They looked more likely to score. They just couldn't break Sydney. They couldn't break the shackles of Sydney, much like Geelong struggled to break the shackles of Adelaide.
And kicked 14-15 to 13-4.
Yes.
So there's 12 more scoring
shots. Yeah, they probably should have won by 5 or 6 goals.
Yeah.
They didn't. But that's my point, that at this level, there are some games where it's a struggle, where you're playing okay, but it's just not going your way. And the Cats had that against the Crows and were still good enough to win.
Hmm. Do you like questions, Ben?
Oh, Kingy, absolutely love. I love questions. I get asked questions all the time.
Okay, so the Cat Attack podcast, we put it out there for our listeners too. If you've got some feedback or you want to know something, we will try and answer the questions. KFC X, Benny?
Oh, the Triple X. I've got a story about Triple X, Kingy.
Yeah, but you're not telling it here.
Andrew, no, it...
No, no. We don't have time. I'm not,
I've got a funny...
I'm
it's
not,
funny.
Ben?
I think you might have to cut it out.
Ben, I'm not dicking around. No. I'm not.
Is that you parting the pun?
I'm not dicking around today.
What about the Bluetooth story?
No. Andrew Daly, I know you probably want a football question, but has anybody tried the hot cross bun dim sim burger from APCO? Not sure if it's at the Geelong site, but would love a full review.
Yes.
Happy Easter to all.
No, I haven't, but I sat next to somebody who devoured one
a
couple of Saturday nights ago.
Enjoyed it?
Absolutely. It wasn't the first time he'd had it, so he was a big thumbs up.
Right. Glenn. Jai Clark showed a bit on Friday. Where do you think his best position is? How do you think they'll manage Mitch Edwards this year and in-game, as he's still quite skinny? Is Reece Stanley a break glass in case of emergency? Because I think Blinksarves should be their full-time ruck. Jai Clark's last quarter was, and Tom Atkins was rave reviews when I asked about it post-game.
Yeah, he was really good. Only 10 possessions in the last quarter. He was hopeless up till then.
He wasn't playing Easter Monday up until then.
No, and they're playing him out of position. They're trying to play him as
under midfielder.
Yeah, so why do we try? And last year's grand final, we had him playing in defence, please. And then that game against the Crows, the first three quarters I had him playing as like a sort of a high half forward. He couldn't get near it. He couldn't get a kick in bed. Suddenly, they put him into the midfield. And look, to his credit, when the game was on the line, he was really good. But look... credit to him, he played well. It was one quarter of footy. It'd be a bit like going out for a night on the fizzy ones when you're younger, and 10-1, and you've started to find you've started to find a little bit of form, and then that you get home and you find even more form, and then suggesting that morning that you're going to get married. It's just don't over race.
Yep.
Back it up. Can he do it again? Will he play him in? Why are you smiling, Tom?
Just at your analogy.
Well, you don't do that, do you?
No.
You say, that's good, I've had a little bit of fun, but let's just wait and see what happens. I don't want to over-race. I just want to get the horse back under me, Gingy.
Yes.
You don't want to get the horse in front of you. Get it back under you so you've got control.
Yep.
So Geelong fans are raving about Jai Clark. Yep, great. You played one good quarter.
Yep. Mitch Edwards.
And I still do not see a trait that would have him anywhere near a top 10 pick. I've stood up for him a long time, but I just don't see a top 10 trait.
Mitch Edwards this year being managed, that will happen.
He's not playing every absolutely.
Game. And Reece Stanley is going to play some footy this year at senior level.
Probably. Yeah, and Mitch Edwards, but I think with off an 11-day break, he's probably more likely than less likely to play against Monday.
Maybe the 6-day break, then he doesn't.
Possibly, doesn't travel.
And Reece Stanley, who will play VFL, you would think, on Saturday, will play against the Eagles 8-day break.
Yeah, I think that wouldn't be beyond the realms of probability.
Right.
Do you like that?
Yeah, it's not bad. Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco. Great if call. You haven't seen that episode of Family Ties, you need to watch it. Mr. Tedesco.
Great call once again.
There was a kangaroo in my living room.
Great call once again, along with Reg, who is just class. So lots of love for Zach Tui. Thought SDK
he just barracks, Reg.
Played his best game. Yeah, well, that's the K-Rock box.
Yes.
Good to see Clark in the last quarter be on the ball. Just a good grind of a game with good team effort.
Yes.
Mick Howley, is Stephen Wells scouring the under-18s for players named Gary, Darren, Phil or Barry to get some better names on the list?
He should be if he's not.
I'm not going
to
find.
Where would you go to find those names?
You're not going to find them anywhere.
Would you have to go to a rural area?
You would have thought up the Mallee.
If
or
you're
somewhere.
Sort of in a more urban sort of arrangement, you'd be looking at sort of Jacob,
Arngold,
Oliver,
Noah.
Yes.
Yeah. The most important question: why is there not one Cats player that has a metal/hard rock goal celebration song? Oh, there needs to be a royal commission into this.
Well, I don't disagree, and let's not get us started on songs after the game, but look, the rubbish that is listened to. The talentless cretins that some of those players listen to is diabolical.
Humphreys, 2026 Brownlow. Who goes out for Bowes? 39 disposals in the VFL last week.
Do you reckon he comes in? Do you think he comes in?
Yeah, but I don't know who for.
I don't know that. Do you think there'll be any changes to the Cats?
Well, I don't think so. Unless there's an injury we're not aware of.
Who do you think would be in line to come out?
O'Connor?
They're not dropping O'Connor.
No.
I wouldn't have thought.
Mullen?
No.
He's going to go to somebody.
Well, he did a great job on Rankin, so I would have thought he goes to Watson.
Mm-hmm.
That's I would have thought that is a lock, so I don't think he's coming out.
No.
Who else?
No, that's probably
not. I think Cats will post no change.
So Geelong's two lowest disposal getters were Mitch Edwards and Zach Guthrie, 6 and 8, and then from there it was Henry, Cameron, Humphreys, Ollie Henry.
Would Ollie Henry come out?
I wouldn't have thought.
Well, I hope not, but
He and Wiltshire, actually, I thought, in those conditions...
I actually...
put their head down and bummed up and...
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the old steak knives, Wiltshire. He did a few good things.
Yeah.
And he showed a little bit of toughness. He might have put on a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
But you
can't ask that now. Have you put on some size? Oh,
God. Fair income. The world just makes me... check out sometimes. But I actually liked, there was a couple of occasions there where he had to be physical and he was. Yep. He was clean, he's quick. I would have thought a big round MCG, weather conditions are going to be good, I think.
Hmm.
I would have thought you'd be really reticent to drop him out for Bowes, who is a bit more of a plotter.
Yep. The other question was about who comes out when Stengel is fit and ready. Wiltshire is probably the one.
I reckon that's a fair way away anyway, so we don't have to worry about that for a while.
He's got to play some VFL, and he will play some VFL.
Yeah, do you reckon he'd be loving that?
I wouldn't have thought.
No, neither would I.
Trevor Young, excellent games by the off-maligned quartet in SDK. Oisin Mullen, Jai Clark and Ollie Henry. Turning point, perhaps. SDK is game one of the best. Mullen was in full clamp mode.
Yep.
Henry showed spirit in appalling conditions. Jai spark in fourth quarter.
Yeah, Henry was... Look, he was okay. He wasn't fantastic. You'd like to see a little bit more, but he wasn't horrible. And I agree that, obviously, we've spoken about DeConing and Mullen, was really good. So Henry was probably just a pass mark.
Nuff.
What are you laughing at?
Nuff from Cario.
Oh, not Nuff again.
Nuff is back, and that is that. After watching Oisin Mullen claim another victim, do you reckon Ben will question what he offers?
Yeah, well, I do question it because I'd like to see more of him get the ball because he's got speed. And we saw it defensively a couple of times against Rankin. I saw a couple of times, it's very difficult to do too when a player, you're tagging a player and they're hitting the ball at speed. It's very difficult to be right with them. And he was on a couple of occasions. What does he offer? Yeah. If he's playing as a, let's put it this way, I've come to the conclusion, Kingy, that I would prefer to see him play as a clamp player in defence if they're not playing Jed Buse, who's clearly not playing at all. He's in the VFL. I don't know why the Cats got him back.
Getting a couple hundred grand to play VFL.
Yeah, why would the Cats get him back? That's a question for another time.
Yep.
But it seems very bizarre. So clearly Jed Buse is not even, I don't think his magnet even gets close to the board. The problem with Mullen is that he doesn't offer you anything if his role isn't working.
Hmm.
He's not flexible. And he's defensive in every aspect. He doesn't have the ability to go and find the ball 20 times. He doesn't. So if his matchup isn't working, I'd probably prefer him as a defender than in the midfield.
Yep.
Because I think you're an absolute liability as a midfielder if you're not touching the ball and your bloke's getting it. Yep. So some of his tags will work, but if he's playing on Nick Dacos, I know he did well on Nick Dacos last year, but if he plays on Nick Dacos is getting it 37 times. Mullen's touching it 3 times. Yep. So he doesn't offer you anything going the other way. So I think he can get away with that a little bit to a degree if you're playing as the smallish defender.
Arngold again, thoughts on Toby Green coming to the Cattery for 2 years? No. I'm starting the rumour. Why is it so hard to find information about the VFL? It's like they aren't even affiliated. The Cats do put some stuff up, but there's not a real focus on it. Question for Benny. Who would have you taken ahead of Clark in his draft year if he's not a top 10 pick? And you did reply to this.
I did, King. Well, there's three players that came to mind. Reuben Jimby would be one. He was taken, I think, the pick after Jai Clark. He's the... is he captain? At West Coast?
Yes. A co-captain, I think.
He's only about 21.
Mm.
Or 22. Or
22, yeah.
He's a good player. He'd be a very good player. The other one would be Weddle, who the Cats are going to have to mind on Monday. I mean, how you could take Jai Clark over a 6'3" running machine is a bit staggering. And the other one would be that I'd really like is that Darcy Jones from GWS. He is a gun. I think he's injured at the moment. I think he copped a bad injury last year and is still out, but he is a jet dead set gun. He's got traits. You think, yeah, that's why they took that kid pick, whatever they took him. He's quick. He's skillful. And, I mean, Jai Clark's a bit of a plotter, isn't he, really?
Hmm.
I mean, if he plods and has 10 possessions in a quarter, that's fine, but he doesn't have anywhere near the class of Darcy Jones. So I just don't see a top 10 trait. And they're three players off the top of my head I would have been taking ahead of Jai Clark. With the advantage of hindsight, mind you.
From Big Footy, what did you make of the logjam inside the Cats Ford 50? All those entries fizzling out. I guess we learned another way to win dirty. If time for another, is there any method as to which SDK will turn up to a game?
Yeah, well, that's what we'd like to know. And hopefully it's a catalyst for him to play well. I mean, it was good to see him do it in conditions that you perhaps wouldn't normally have associated with him against a really good opponent in Thilthorpe. We spoke about Thilthorpe as being, you know, possibly the difference in winning and losing for the Cats. He was the player that could tear the game apart if De Koning wasn't able to curb him, because there wasn't anything else that was obvious to play on him. So, De Koning's, he's got to go again. Can he go again? Well, we'll wait and see, but at least he was there and going well against the Crows.
How the 41, it was a wild Thursday night at the Cattery. Here are my thoughts. Oisin Mullen tagged Rankin into wetness protection. OJ Simpson's glove wasn't even that tight as Mullen was. Sam De Koning taking four contested marks versus Billy Thorpe's son, Riley Phil. That's very bad.
Riley Phil.
Thorpe. Oh. Billy's son. Shows he's still got improvement in him. Howler, that was terrible. Ollie Henry, defensive
efforts.
That was
good. That was quality humour, King.
We're much improved. Not into ideal conditions for marking forward, but he kept himself in the game. Also felt Ollie Cutlery Wiltshire showed a bit and stays in this week. We haven't seen rain like that since Noah left the Corinthians versus Mesopotamia pre-season match to begin building his arc. Now, here's his questions. Would you roll a fresh Reece Stanley out to take on Meekin Reeves or go with Edwards? Well, we discussed earlier maybe that Edwards plays and not backs up against the Eagles' six-day break.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll discuss it. I would have thought you'd give the kid another go. I suppose you're always a bit concerned when you've got a 20-year-old against two absolute giants who are fully grown men. You know, Stanley's coming off a limited preparation. I would have thought they keep Edwards in. I might be wrong, but I would have thought you let him loose again, give him the experience, and then, you know, hopefully Blitzarv chimes in. If you need him, throw Neil into the ruck for the odd, you know, the odd 3 or 4 minute burst, perhaps. Make the mix of your forward line look a bit different. So that's an option as well when Edwards goes off for a rest.
Mm. Does Jack Bowes 40?
I just hope they don't put De Koning in the ruck. No. We're going to jump out of the box if they do that.
It's a long way down, Ben.
It is. That's why I don't want to do it.
Does Jack Bowes force his way into the side?
Well, I hope
39
not.
Touches.
No, I don't know. I hope not. I'm not a big Jack Bowes fan. He's a plotter as well. He just plotted. We don't have too many plotters. Warp will get back in against his old side.
Maybe.
Probably need one more in the midfield.
Tell you who doesn't. Brad Close doesn't.
No, he doesn't get back in.
Didn't set the world on fire at all.
No, and we spoke about that with Reg, and he agreed that pre-game against the Crows last Thursday night that perhaps, you know, we sort of have this vision that the player from the seniors gets dropped back to the twos and they just blitz. Some players' games are suited to the VFL. Mm. George Stevens is probably one. More congested, scrappier game, not as skillful. He's suited to that. He gets contest to contest quicker. He can impact more contests. He's a big body, so it suits him. Close is probably not. The other one who probably wouldn't be suited, and not that he's going back to the twos, but someone like a Grant Myers.
Yeah.
He's perhaps not suited to the VFL either.
No. Well, we know that from his first year. He was nowhere after year number one at Geelong.
Yeah.
And he couldn't
he was
get
running
near the VFL.
16 kilometres and touching the ball four times.
Yeah. And then he got an opportunity at, they worked out that, hang on, this bloke
can run.
Yep.
He's got a tank, and if you get him to the right spots. So he does that at the AFL level, and 6 times out of 10 or 7 times out of 10, the ball gets to the spot where he's at. Mm. At VFL level, it might get there twice. So Close's footy is probably not suited to the VFL. What do you have, Kingy?
He had 11 disposals, I think.
11 possessions, that all? Yeah. Okay, yeah. He's fallen off the face of the earth. The other two, Kingy, what's happened to Zach Guthrie?
It's
been
slow.
I know
start.
He plays in defence, so you're not expecting him to rack up possessions, but he's been very quiet.
Yeah.
He's had a sluggish start, hasn't he?
Yep. Yeah, it's fair.
Yep. Did he have anything wrong pre-season? Did he do a full pre-season?
Not that I'm aware of.
He just looks a bit off. from what we know Zach Guthrie to be. So
he actually can turn it on. He plays his 96th consecutive game this week, Zach Guthrie.
I don't know that he would have had more than about 10 or 12 possessions in any of the games this year.
He only had 8 last week. He's had 40 for the season, so that tells me he's got to have had a double figure.
Yeah, he might have kicked out a few
times.
He had
18 against Gold Coast.
Yeah, right.
And 14 against Fremantle.
He has been a little bit down on what we... I mean, we're benchmarking him pretty high because he's been at the top of the best and fairest, but he just isn't... Yeah, well, I mean, mind you, it's very early in the season, but yeah, he's been slightly off.
Also from Big Footy, where Stingle at? This is Cats.
Well, he's back training, isn't he? Yeah. But he's got a fair way to go.
Yeah, he's got it, yeah. I know he missed a chunk of the preseason.
He'd be, I reckon, mid-season at best.
Yep. I'd be looking around the mid-season bye in June.
He can keep it on track. If he doesn't keep the show on the tracks, Geelong will be getting that contract out. And so how many years left on that?
There's 3.5.
That was a bad decision.
Broncos. Clark was the highest rated player with 75% midfield time in the last quarter versus the Crows. Fool's gold or the flashes from a kid who is putting it all together. I'm more the latter, and he needs to keep it going now.
Yes, correct. He does. He does. And we heard Tom Atkin sort of go into bat for him and say that he's a hard worker and he does everything right. So, look, if that's the case, then you can't knock him. He's giving himself every opportunity. Does he need to play in the midfield? Yes. Are you tempting fate by trying to play him anywhere else than that? I'd say yes. The problem then is, do you have too many sort of plotters in Atkins? I mean, I say plotters, I'm not being derogatory, I mean, but those sort of one-paced type players in Atkins, in if Warple was to come back in, if you throw in obviously Clark, if he's in there as well, you sort of have to have a bit of a mix. So would you think that, I'll ask you this question, Kingy.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Warple in the midfield or would you rather have Jai Clark in the midfield?
Jai Clark.
Yeah, see, at this stage of the game, I'd like to say Jai Clark, but I think Warple has more skins on the wall, and he's more of a player. You know what you'll get. You're still hoping you get something from Clark, but you're not sure of it. At least Warple is at 20 possession, 5 clearance, 7 tackle type midfielder, and you probably can pencil him in for that. You're penciling Clark in from anywhere from 6 possessions to 20, depending upon how the game goes.
Just another positive out of the VFL, Jake Colajasny, 21 disposals and 8 marks.
Yeah, well, he's another one, Kingy. I mean, the problem is, who does he come in for?
Yeah, well, it would only be if Zach Guthrie potentially...
Well, I'm not going to drop Zach Guthrie.
No, but...
I mean, he'd have to be stinking it up by still about round 15 to get dropped, wouldn't he? He's got that many credits in the bank. Yeah. I just don't know where... Look, and this is with everybody fit. I guarantee you someone will get injured or Tom Stewart will do a hamstring or something and it'll give an opportunity for Colajasny to come back in, and then, you know, Colajasny will, you know, re-establish himself.
Jack Martin worth persisting with, as it seems the coaching staff love him, or better to bring in a kid and blood someone?
Well,
I'd rather blood a kid, in my opinion. Well, the talk is that Jack Martin, some of the reports are that he's reached a trigger for another year at Geelong.
Next year already?
Yep.
Crikey. What's the trigger?
I have no idea.
Must be a real sort of trigger happy.
Trigger happy.
He was good. 3 goals of the Cats. Well, they kicked 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. That goal he kicked when he had the clean hands and in the last quarter was an absolute beauty. I mean, while he's doing that, you can't be suggesting that it's bad for the team. I mean, what kid are we going to be blooding? Polkinghorne. They've already got enough players like that. You've got Manor, you've got Ollie Henry, you've got Patrick Dangerfield, you've got a giant sort of playmaker in Cameron who plays more of a mobile forward.
Wiltshire.
Yeah, you've got those sort of players. So I don't know that as long as Martin continues to contribute and I mean, he really needs to probably be hitting the scoreboard or creating goals for others. His days of him sort of roaming up to the wing and then getting it 25 times are over. So if he's a crafty sort of player, he's got the skill, he's got the nous, can he be dangerous inside forward 50? That's where you want him, and that's what he was against the Crows, and he ended up, you could probably argue, his 3 goals are the difference.
Yep. Killian Burke is a massive unit and has speed. Could be the best Irishman yet if he can put it together.
Yeah, I've never seen him.
No.
So I've absolutely no idea.
No.
What position, sort of position, are they trying to play him, do you know?
Well, I think they're trying to work that out. You got to be to the
When you say a big unit, is he key position unit or midfield unit?
Big mid.
Right.
Yeah.
The Cats desperately need to find...
19 disposals last week in the VFL, by the way.
Well, that's good. I think Geelong need to look to develop or find and develop a key position defender. Yeah.
Just on the VFL, good luck to Dan Caperon this week. Plays his 100th game for Geelong in the VFL.
Is he still on at St. Joe's?
No.
He's not?
No, he's moved his home club back to, I think it's Chelsea in the Mornington Peninsula League. Yeah, he won't be playing with St. Joe's, Benny. And even if he was, he's carrying points because he hasn't played enough games to... actually reduce his points, so he'd still be a five-pointer.
It's all gone to shit up there at St. Joey's.
That'll be all right.
Yeah, they'll be all right, but literally half the team.
The grand final team from last year are gone.
Something's going on up there.
All right. Anyway, can we go?
We can. It's Good Friday tomorrow, Kingy.
It is.
What are you going to be doing?
I'm calling Geelong Amateur and Motowari on the K-Rock app.
Do you know the only form of meat... Why are you going to cancel this out?
Because I know what the punchline is, Ben.
No, well, I've got another one for you. How do you spot... No, don't cut it out. This is not hurting anybody. How do you spot the blind man at the nudist beach?
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.